Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Wow, Planned Parenthood finally admitting that their founder, Margaret Sanger, was a racist. They're distancing themselves from her. The Bible says the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And Margaret Sanger wrote, I checked out her book decades ago, wrote an article at American Right to Life's website on Margaret Sanger. And quote from her book, the most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members, and she's not talking about abortion, she's talking about after the baby is born. The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. That's Margaret Sanger. I know that people wouldn't believe that she actually wrote that, so I took a scan of the book, Woman in the New Race, page 63, and there it is. I checked out her two books from the Denver Public Library. You could see that. Maybe we'll talk more about this later in today's program. Also, I want to mention about Denver Bible Church filing. It hasn't happened yet, but filing our lawsuit, appealing. Now we're in federal district court, then in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, Lord willing, we should be filing within the next week or two at the U.S. Supreme Court. So we'll keep you updated on that. But first, Shut Up and Sing. You've heard of that. Shut Up and Dribble. Well, here at Bob Benyart Live, we say, shut up and sing. Shut up and dribble. So before we talk about why the Laura Ingrams of the world should shut up with Shut Up and Sing. First, why is it that mindless drones, like at Fox News Channel, why do they say things like shut up and sing or shut up and dribble? Well, let's take LeBron James as an example. NBA player doxing the hero police officer who had about 2 seconds to react. And he did, and he saved a black girl from being stabbed, possibly killed. How can LeBron James be so stupid as to not recognize that this white police officer is a hero? How could he be that stupid? Well, answer, stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. So when you rebel and you double down in that rebellion, and you resist all effort to correct you, well, that's sin, and that sin will make you increasingly stupid. So if someone has a very low IQ, that doesn't mean they're going to sin. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. He's a racist. How so? Well, only racists support BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. That's not right. Oh, yeah, because only racists support BLM, that is Black Lives Matter, which is a thoroughly racist, God-hating organization. And because of the widespread support for BLM, we do know that the left, they are right about something, that systemic racism has reared its ugly head once again in America. It has become widespread, and once again, by the way, it's led by the Democrats. Isn't that something? Who opposed blacks voting, who opposed civil rights for blacks, and so on. As the party that characteristically opposed liberty for blacks, the Democratic Party. And today, it is mostly conservative Christians and other anti-Dems alerting people to the racism of Black Lives Matter. Anyway, because LeBron James buys into the bigoted racist narrative that white cops are evil, then even when a white cop risks his own life, risks his own liberty, his career, to save an unarmed black girl, they see it as a white cop being a racist and going out to kill a black teenager. That's what they see the heroism as. So that's why Fox News talking heads will say things like, shut up and dribble, or to Hollywood, shut up and sing for entertainers. But shut up and sing. Shut up and dribble. This is another example of conservatives bringing a knife to a gunfight, bringing process to a moral issue. What if, I'll give you another example. That was from the NBA, LeBron James. Who in the NBA is a way better shooter than LeBron James? Who? Well, how about Stephen Curry, the greatest NBA shooter of all time? What if he were to speak up and say, let's say about China's systemic racism, right? The NBA has a love affair with China because of all the money and an enormous market. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, right? Quick to support the left and their delusional accusations against white police officers, but a defender of China and their overt systemic racism. Isn't it ironic? You see, stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes Mark Cuban stupid and the NBA. But what if Stephen Curry were to speak up about China's systemic racism? He's a Christian, rather braggadocious, but apparently a real Christian. His mom, good for her, once publicly reprimanded him for cursing during a game, and apparently he took that to heart. So what if Curry just blurted out in one of his hundreds of interviews that the NBA should not honor China with that country's systemic racism, especially right now against the Uyghurs, but also against their other non-Chinese citizens? They even put Muslim Uyghurs by the tens of thousands into concentration camps. If Steph said, not only do I condemn the NBA for their repeated honoring of China, but in exhibition games, I will not stand for the Chinese flag. I will not stand for their anthem. As long as they continue as communists to enslave a billion people who have mass Stockholm syndrome, by the way, and as long as they continue to implement systemic racism, I refuse to honor China. What then? What if he said that? All these conservatives, are they going to say, Stephen Curry, shut up and shoot? Are they going to say that? Would one of them say that? Would one of them? It is a misdirection. And it's not just in this. It's 100 times over. And on many of the most important issues, conservatives go to a process solution, which is never a solution. It's no solution at all. They go to a process solution for a moral issue. Of course, they wouldn't criticize him. And they're not saying that these players or entertainers don't have the right to speak, right? They're not saying that. But shut up and sing, it misses the point. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, one of the job requirements, if you want to be a host or a guest host or a co-host on this program, you have to be willing to expose the liberal in the conservative. That's what you have to do. You have to be willing to expose the liberal in the conservative. And once again, in this case, it is conservatives coming up with a process solution to a moral problem. If a German athlete said he refused to compete in the Olympics back in the late 1930s, if he said, as long as Adolf Hitler is chancellor of my country, I refuse to represent Germany. I refuse to do anything that honors my government. He would, of course, be a hero, and he almost certainly would have won a Nobel Prize eventually if he had said such a thing. a Nobel Peace Prize. But how is it that there is such delusion among the masses on the COVID, on the BLM movement, the media at large, the delusion of the media, fake news, fake science news, fake news? Well, let me share with you a reaction I had after reading this classic book. It was written in 1841 by Charles Mackay. It's titled Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. It's a 700-page book. It was given to me when I worked at McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache attack helicopter in the simulation department software. And it was given to me by a hardware engineer. He was an atheist. He knew I was a Christian. And he gave me this book. It was brand new. Now it's a third of a century old. It's been read through a couple times, marked up. He gave me this book as an insult or a self-help tool because I'm a Christian. He is a rational atheist. And he wants me to see how common it is for the masses to be delusional. And I need to become rational. What he didn't know, because he never read the book himself, is that Charles Mackay is a Christian. He's a believer. And that's one of the reasons he's able to do such a phenomenal job and write this classic about the centuries before his lifetime and during his lifetime, the insanity of the public and the culture, is because of the clarity of mind that being a Christian can bring to you if you are a Bible-believing, God-honoring Christian. And so what's happening right now is going to be a future chapter in Charles' book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. I mean, what's happening now with the COVID, with BLM, with the media, and so on, we could add a dozen examples, major examples, hundreds of minor examples. What's going on today, it will be a chapter. I mean, even if the chapter is never written and appended to the book, it will be a chapter. And I'd like to share with you, because as you're reading his book, you get engrossed into the lives of the people, whether he's writing about the 13th century, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, his own century, you get engrossed into the lives of the people that he's writing about. While reading this book, 700 pages, so it becomes a part of your life for a while. Oh, and by the way, I marked all the pages that show that the author, Charles Mackay, believes in God. He's a Christian. Like, for example, on page 281, 345, 437, 460, 462, 527, 679. And he's a Christian. While reading, you become fully absorbed in the story, engrossed by the cast of characters, entranced, really, by the particulars of whatever matter that he has put his pen to expose. And then one page later, right? You're right in the middle of it. One page later, you read the conclusion, which often includes some details about the end, the deaths of the parties involved. And you realize, just as these souls of hundreds of years ago lived and died, their lives like a falling flower or a vapor that is gone in an instant, so too is our earthly life. And what a fool he is who will throw away eternity for some unhappy rebellion today. You think Nancy Pelosi is truly happy? You think she has joy? Kamala Harris? You think Bill Clinton gets to look back on his life with tremendous satisfaction? They're a part of this fleeting, unhappy rebellion. And for that, they trade away eternal life. For that. And the left, take the COVID thing, right? And masks and the insanity of closing schools. Young kids, they don't get the COVID. I mean, as a basic statement of fact, they don't get the COVID. When they do catch the virus, if they have symptoms at all, it's a cold. It's a cold, and they don't even get it from other kids. They get it from adults when they do get it. And 1 in 10,000 who get it have serious symptoms, 1 in 10,000. A lot of kids die from a lot of diseases. But this is not something that threatens children. And so the insanity of the argument to close schools, I'm thrilled when schools close, especially public schools. And I'm thrilled, even as the former Fox host Megyn Kelly has gone on Bill Maher's show, Real Time with Bill Maher, and said in New York City, we've pulled our kids out of school, even though in that case, it was a private school. But she said, overwhelmingly, they're woke, social justice, leftist. So we pulled our kids out. And I'm glad for the sake of the kids, they did. But back in the spring of 2020, we pointed out here on Bob Benyard Live that because of the shutdown, and especially if it lasts much longer, hundreds of thousands of kids are going to escape the government school system, and they're going to be homeschooled. Hundreds of thousands. And now it looks like it's over 1 million or 2 million kids freed, delivered from the public school system, and praise God for that. So the left, in their rebellion against God, and they do view it as rebellion against God. And why is that? Because as it started in America, it was to make Donald Trump look bad, and it was conservative Christians that the left identify mostly with Donald Trump. And they hate him and his despicable sexual behavior, a career's worth of that. For them to smear Jesus with the reputation of Donald Trump, they love that. That was a perfect formula for them to express their hatred of Jesus Christ through their hatred of Donald Trump. They could have more effect on Trump than they could on Jesus, or so they think. So they went after Trump and his supporters. And when Trump supporters react against the masks, suddenly the masks are a symbol of scholarship, rationality, science, and love, the mask. And so it's another extraordinary popular delusion and the madness of crowds. And by the way, in this book, and I've wanted to do a series on this book, we've mentioned it now and then on the air over the last 30 years, and May 1st we'll have been on the air for 30 years. We haven't talked about this upcoming anniversary, but May 1st, my son Dominic, his birthday is May 1st. So May 1st, we began the beginning of May. Bob Benyard Live on KLTT Radio. It's really uncanny. 30 years ago, the beginning of May 1991. That's when we went on the air. And so now 30 years, 5 days a week. And we do plan to do a series on this program, but the extraordinary popular delusions include things like tulipomania in Holland, where people traded their entire life's fortune for a single tulip bulb, single bulb. And overnight, they went from being worth the equivalent of tens of thousands of dollars to nothing overnight. Now, that's a popular delusion. It's like a bubble in the stock market. The Rosicrucians, the end of the world with the church, Nostradamus, the test of a witch, widespread test of a witch in Europe and America, the slow poisoners, all the wives who it became a phenomenon for wives to murder their husbands. And if they did it with a slow acting poison, they thought it was okay. The near insanity of the view on hair and beards. Crazy stuff. Oh, and by the way, Charles McKay, he was not a bleeding heart leftist. He was against that. So we'll have to do a series on this. The current reemergence of popular support for communism in America, Black Lives Matter openly supporting communism. And this has been real on the college campus for decades, where faculty have been against freedom and supportive of literally of communism. Communism is an economic system, not a political system, but there's often overlap and there's obviously relationship between political systems and economic systems. If you have not seen our political spectrum charts, the leftist view, the conservative view, also wrong, and the true political spectrum based on authority flow, you want to see those, and they make it real clear which are political systems, which are economic systems, and you could see the relationship between them as you move from the left to the right on the political spectrum. Well, the current extraordinary popular delusion in support of communism, this was discussed just 2 years ago by Canadian Jordan Peterson, the brilliant thinker, hugely popular. We aired his audio just a few weeks ago when he began to break down, to cry while considering the claims of Jesus Christ. Incredibly moving. So please continue to pray for Jordan Peterson. Well, 2 years ago, he spoke before a large audience of mixed leftist progressives and conservatives, and he was criticizing the Communist Manifesto. Let's just hear a couple clips.
You don't rise to a position of authority that's reliable in a human society primarily by exploiting other people. It's a very unstable means of obtaining power. So that's a problem. Well, the people that laugh might do it that way.
That was such a brilliant response. And I'd like us to hear that again, talking about rising to power over others. And when you do it by exploiting other human beings, I mean, that is the left, that is communism, but it is so great to lay it bare, as Jordan Peterson did. Let's hear that again.
So clear, you don't rise to a position of authority that's reliable in a human society primarily by exploiting other people. It's a very unstable means of obtaining power. So that's a problem. Well, the people that laugh might do it that way.
It's just brilliant. Okay, it is so absolutely brilliant, and it's so refreshing to hear such clarity. So for our second clip, Jordan Peterson has now, by that brilliant response, encouraged his audience to do the same thing. So this happens again just moments later. So let's hear this. And this time, he doesn't have to say a word because he's teaching people not what to think, but how to think. And listen how wonderfully the conservatives in the crowd pick up on this.
The fact that you assume a priori that all the evil can be attributed to the capitalists and all the good, the bourgeoisie, and all the good could be attributed to the proletariat meant that you could hypothesize that a dictatorship of the proletariat could come about. And that was the first stage in the communist revolution. And remember, this is a call for revolution, and not just revolution, but bloody, violent revolution, and the overthrowing of all existent social structures.
That was so tremendous, because Jordan Peterson had just said that this isn't just a call for a new form of government. This is a call for a bloody, violent revolution. And with those words, the leftists in the audience, they began to cheer because that's what they support, a bloody, violent revolution. When Black Lives Matter supporters kill people, and especially when they kill cops, but when they kill anybody, even when they kill blacks, Black Lives Matter, they don't condemn them. It's just part of their bloody, violent revolution. They like murder when it's for their political purpose. And so the leftist in the audience, when Jordan Peterson says, these people are calling for bloody, violent revolution, they applaud. And then he doesn't have to repeat what he just said. And that's how these people want to do it also. He doesn't have to say that. So the conservatives applaud for his silence because they know his response. We'll hear it again.
And remember, this is a call for revolution, and not just revolution, but bloody, violent revolution, and the overthrow of all, the overthrowing of all existent social structures.
So Jordan Peterson taught the audience not what to think, but how to think, and they did a fabulous job of it. So good for him, and again, please remember to pray for him. In fact, we prayed for Jordan Peterson on the air back a few weeks ago when we aired him considering the claims of Jesus Christ, when he said that these claims seem valid in a powerful way, and he's struggling to come to terms with the Lord. So really significant. By the way, last week when I mentioned, I said this might be premature. I'm such a strong extrovert. It's hard for me to keep thoughts in my head without them coming out my mouth. And I mentioned that our attorneys are getting ready to file with the U.S. Supreme Court. We won a couple injunctions at the district court level here in Denver. Then they held steady at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals because the state of Colorado dropped their opposition to our injunctions on masks and capacity limits. But we went back down to the district court because we have many more claims we're making in our lawsuit to benefit not only Denver Bible Church, but all churches in the country, and you can't appeal to the Supreme Court when you've won. Since we won at the district court level and we won at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, we were stuck. And so we went back down to the district court to argue the rest of our lawsuit, and then we lost there, which we were actually happy to lose. We went to the 10th Circuit, we lost, and because we've lost now, we can go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we'll let you know when that happens. With God's help, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I wrote the plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.